Santo. We are live from Atlanta Falcons training camp here at Flowery Branch, Georgia, as day one of practice starts. Our guys, well, they got here yesterday. They showed up to camp, checked into their rooms, and now we're ready to go to day 9:30, the first open practice of the year. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He is the All-American National Champion. He did this five times.
Yep.
Training camp here with the Atlanta Falcons. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson, and I have a bone to pick with you and your little mafia crew, but I'll get to that in a few minutes. And she is the first lady of Atlanta baseball, the queen of tofu, the leader and founder of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack, not to be confused with Amy. And back at the studio, we do have the most vanilla man in radio. His serial lists aren't that bad, though. Give him a break. Mr. Dylon Matthews. And on the ones and twos here at Flowery Branch, as always, Mr. Gordon G. Robinson in the house for us.
The commissioner. The commissioner G. Robinson.
That's right. Yeah. It's the commissioner's report today.
All right, go ahead and start with your mafia problem.
Yeah, what's the issue already?
Let's go ahead and get this out on the
table.
It's day one of training camp. I'd like to start with a clean slate.
One or two things is true. Either I am such a celebrity that I can't even go to dinner anymore, Gordon, without being interrupted. Or you sent a hit out on me to interrupt my personal life. I'm sitting there minding my own business at Cancun's, having a frozen margarita the night before camp starts. Me and Pork Chop, Amy, and then my neighbor and his daughter. And I can't even get dinner. Mark's Mafia. Lost spot. And I think it was our boy Harrison who lives up there and listens. But I mean, is this what you're trying to do to me?
Too much credit, man. You're giving me way too much credit. So, I didn't put a hit out on you. I had my own kind of stuff going on, but you're giving me way too much credit.
Mike Mafia.
So I'm just too big of a celebrity these days. I can't even go to dinner anymore. I'm going to find a new place to go to dinner or get a private booth.
Doesn't sound like this person was a fan, though. I mean, that's the thing.
Well,
you can't
really
claim celebrity if they're not a fan.
Mike, what you should realize is if they recognize you, they're a fan, whether they like it or not.
No.
They either hate you or love you, and either way, it sounds like a fan to me.
Sometimes people just hate listen, and hey, that's flattering as well. We'll take those, as long as you're a listener. Well, I do want to talk about everything we've got going on the show today before we break down exactly what's happening right now out here in Flowery Branch. 6:20, we're going to cover some college football news surrounding the playoffs and opinions on that. 6:40, guys, we've got Throwback Thursday trivia.
Wow.
We're tied, right, Allie?
Yeah, you guys are tied. 4-4. Yeah, it's going to be interesting for you guys to yell out your names in the middle of Flowery Branch right now.
Mike, you are out, but I'm tied with you. I am ahead of Abe, ahead of Dylan, mm-hmm. and Grant wiped the floor with me on the Saturday baseball show.
Well, that's a different format of trivia that we did with Grant, but there is what we're learning with Throwback Thursday trivia is there's a skill to it, and you know, Dylan and Abe just don't know how to play the game quite yet. So Bo annihilated them. And then at some point today, we're going to have Dave Archer joining us probably in the 8 a.m. hour. And we get to get into, can we get into who we're going to talk to after practice today? Or do we want to keep that a mystery?
Yeah, no. Absolutely. Absolutely talk about it. Look, these are all out there. We can talk about it. You're going to hear from tomorrow. We're going to play it, but today we'll talk to Drake London.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some questions about what some think will be his breakout season, yet it's already happened, I believe, but can't wait to get it with Drake. I know Dukes and Bell have Michael Penix Jr. later today for you. So, you know, Raheem's going to join Andy and Randy right after practice. It's all happening.
Yeah, I'm curious, and I can't wait to catch up with Drake. And obviously, we got a chance to talk to him last year, but the same storylines kind of apply in an unfortunate way. We mm-hmm. talked to him last year, and we're like, look, man, three starting quarterbacks in 3 years. You know what I mean? How do you keep that level of consistency? Here we are in year four, and you're like, four starting quarterbacks in 4 years. How do you keep that level of consistency? But I remember talking to him last year. I was like, dude, you're the best 50-50 ball player in the NFL, in my opinion. I still have that opinion, even more so after last season. So it'd be good to catch up with him again and get the latest on where he's at.
Well, if you want to check out our setup, I did take a little video, but I didn't realize it was video. It's up on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. It is a little bit dark out here. Clearly, it is 6:07 in the morning. So, unfortunately, it's not the best lighting. In fact, I'm not sure you can see Mike Johnson's face in it, but
by design.
You can check it out at 929 Morning Shift on Twitter. Now, getting into everything today, it is kind of the calm before the storm, guys. But what are you expecting to see at day one of training camp today?
Well, Mike's going to keep me off the field today from running out there and like running some drills and stuff. I'm so pumped to be here. It didn't hit me how excited I was for football season, really truly, until we walked back, Allie, earlier, and we checked out the field. The fields are lined up and everything, and Allie and I got a little exclusive peek. I just like all of a sudden. It was like I got just juiced up. I'm just pumped. I'm ready to go. I cannot wait. I just want to see. There's nothing, and I don't know, Mike may feel differently. But to me, there's nothing you're really going to see that's like, yeah, we're ready, Super Bowl or bust. You know, nothing like that. It's just to see the guys out there and know that in, 14 days, I think, we're going to be playing football. August 8th is the first game, maybe 15. It just all of a sudden feels like it's go time, and it couldn't come at a better time with some of the other things that are happening in our sports landscape in the city with, you know, failures. And now we get to see a football season that, to me, has a lot of hopes and dreams.
Yeah, it's a new beginning of sorts, and obviously you feel that way every year in the NFL. And that's what makes the NFL so great. It's like you'd never know from year to year who's really going to be good, who's going to fall off. You have an idea, and you have teams where there's continuity, but when you look at what the Atlanta Falcons are looking forward to, it does feel like the arrow is pointing up. And so that's a nice feeling. And Bo talked about walking out there and seeing the field and how he got the juices flowing yesterday. I was doing a little bit of show prep, doing a little bit of research myself and looking towards those preseason games. I think got the Lions first, the Titans in preseason week two, started looking into those teams. And Bo and I were texting back and forth, and I was like, I am so ready for this. Like, I feel so great about football season coming up and everything we've got going on. So it is – you have some of those jitters, I think, when you walk out here. I still – like we talked about the other day, I get the anxiety of the players of knowing that nothing else in your life for the most part matters for the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is like you basically have to get anything and Bo does this to an extent because he travels with the team, but you basically anything that you want to do over the next 6 months, you need to get filed away right now. Like it needs to already have been taken care of right now, or else you might not get it done. And it specifically goes for these football players and definitely over the next month, because they will be doing everything up here at this facility and taking care of everything they need to do right here. So, and we'll be right here along with them.
It's funny that he says that, Ali, is mine's nowhere near the commitment that these guys have. I'm not in the building for 10 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week. I do travel with them, yes. But I did this last year. I'm already doing it again. I do it, I think, every year. I'm telling you, man, you better get just if it's going to get done, it's going to get done with it before the 8th, because I'm done after that. Like everything, I'm working on my golf cart because I know that it's not going to get fixed during the season. Did that with the nursery last year and everything. I was like, yeah, I'll get to it in February, and that's exactly what I did. Mike's right. We fans are hard on players because. We put a lot into it too. You know, a lot of fans they buy stuff. They buy tickets. They travel. You know, Falcons have a good fan base that travels, and so they put in all this. So they expect something out of it as well. And we forget that how much work these guys put in on a day to day basis. So when you see them on a Tuesday in the middle of the day, like, and there's like a lake day or something, and you're like, why aren't you working? It's like, well, this is their one day off, one day, and most of them. Went into the building, did film study, did a workout, got treatment, and it's just like there's 3 hours of their one day off that they get to enjoy.
And I will, before we go any further, too, I do want to give credit to, like, coaching staff, support staff, and everything else. We rolled in here at 5 a.m., and that weight room was already bumping right mm-hmm. behind us, the brand-new weight room that obviously kept fans away last year when you talked about the construction zone. I walked in here. It's a beautiful facility, and if you guys are coming out here over the next couple of weeks, you'll get a chance to see it as you kind of walk through the parking lot. It's incredible to look in there, but, I mean, there is probably, 20 people in there getting their pump now, and it's 6 a.m.
I don't think it's – I think we can say this. I'm watching Raheem Morris work out right now. Literally, he was here right when we pulled up.
Yeah.
And then he walked in the building. He's down there getting his workout in. So if you wonder why Raheem Morris looks in like such good shape, because he works out at 6 a.m. every morning. I mean, and then he goes and does all the long day that he will have.
Well, and since it is mainly coaches and staff right now that are in there working out, I am curious, Mike, 6'12", you know, when you were here at training camp, what were you doing at this point in time?
I would say that I was probably doing a cold plunge, like a contrast, hot, cold, and you would get that in before your workout, which I think for us, for the veterans, I think was around 7 a.m., and I think you ended up getting, you know, meeting started around 8. I can't remember all the specifics, but it was something like that. You know, you would get whatever you needed to be done. If you had any, you know, nagging injuries, things like that, you go get your treatment early in the morning at 6 a.m. I would always do a contrast before I would go get a workout in, make sure I didn't pull any muscles, which most people probably do, and then you would get that knocked out before you headed into meetings all day. And then, you know, meetings go to walkthrough, which goes to lunch, which goes to practice, which goes to press, which goes to, you know, everything else, the post-practice meetings, which goes in, you know, individual, offense, team, and everything else throughout the rest of the evening. So these guys, like we talked about this yesterday a little bit, Ali, they have 10-hour days now or 12-hour days. It's capped by the NFLPA. That was not a thing. Not a thing 15 years ago when I showed up at this place. That well, my rookie year was before the 2011 CBA, which was before the lockout. And
you got 1 year.
I got 1 year of that brutal, just two-a-day grind. You know, I think the only rule was you couldn't have 2 days on back-to-back days when I was here. That's rough.
Was it for 1 year with Mike Smith? I think it was 14. I think it was the Hard Knocks year because there was this mantra that the Falcons just weren't tough in the trenches. And that's not a shot. Mike knows what I'm talking about. And I feel like y'all did, like, the Oklahoma drill. Was that 14?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Like,
yeah,
you were
it was
there.
14.
Because I remember, like, it felt like Mike Smith was trying to send a message to not only – I don't even think it was to y'all. I think it was to the fans and the rest of the league. Like,
he was trying to set a tone.
Yeah.
This is
what we are. This is what we're about. And because Mike and the reason I say that was the mantra about the team is because Mike Smith addressed it in Hard Knocks.
Yeah, he definitely did, and I completely agree with you. I remember that specific instance because I spent most of 2012 at the tight end position, and then 2013 is when I had an ankle injury that kept me from – I was in line to start. And then working my way back from that ankle injury, they were like, hey, you're going to split time with offensive line, doing tight end reps as well. And I remember distinctly both the reps I had in that training camp in Oklahoma, Drew. The first one I think was against – it wasn't Lawrence Sidbury, but it was somebody along. Maybe it was Cliff Matthews at the time. And then they made me flip over and go do tight end. And I went against Paul Warlow over at the other drive. I remember it distinctly because he was trying to set a tone, and that's what you do early on in training camp. You're trying to set the tone specifically when the pads come on here in a few days.
And see, that's the crazy thing is I remember so much about the training camps that Mike was a part of. Because it was early in my, you know, my career covering it and everything.
So you're wide-eyed, ready to take it all in.
Allie, I can tell you I probably remember more about the training camps he was a part of than the two that him and I have sat on the sidelines and watched. Mm. Isn't it crazy how that is? But it is. Maybe I was younger. Maybe my memory was better. I didn't kill all these brain cells yet. I don't know. but I can tell you that I remember so much and – I think sometimes it kind of throws him off because I'm like, hey, remember that time at practice when you did this and then this happened? And he's like, no, wait,
what?
Hold on.
What?
I do kind of remember that. How do you remember that?
Yeah, that is true.
Well, we've been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, but we are finally here. Falcons training camp kicks off today, and coming up next, Dan Lanning is giving his opinion on the college football playoffs. When he wants them to wrap up, we'll talk about it next with the morning shift live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift live from Flowery Branch at Falcons training camp with Allie Mack, Mike Johnson, and Bo Morgan. Of course, Dylan is behind the glass at the station. Gordon is out here keeping us on the air. And we got to get into some comments that Oregon coach Dan Lanning had about the college football playoff format. But we are sitting outside the weight room right now at the Falcons training camp, and it is so nice out. I feel like in an hour, we're not going to be able to say, this is the perfect morning. Like, the weather is absolutely perfect because it is going to get hot. So if you're coming out here, make sure to hydrate. I'm sure as you guys were scrolling your phones yesterday or maybe this morning, you saw the little viral moment that's happening in Cleveland right about now.
It's so Cleveland. It's so Browns is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I was going to let you explain what it was, and I have a thought on it, but go ahead.
So they were revealing the new helmet yesterday, the Cleveland Browns were, and basically it was on Lake Erie. And they're out on this little flotation, and that's where the helmet is to reveal it. It's a big reveal. And someone who was filming it, while they're filming it, the little platform, maybe not big enough, fell off into Lake Erie, which if you don't know, he needs to go get a tetanus shot now.
Yeah, that there's no doubt that
it's like the Hudson River in New York.
Well, if you've never been to Cleveland, the stadium is right there on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't fall out of the – you can't walk in the parking lot and just walk right into the lake, but it's right there on it, and it's really cool. And, of course, Cleveland – isn't Cleveland called the mistake by the lake or whatever?
Not officially.
But it's right there, and, yes, it's probably a lot of the city and the stadium's waste is dumped in that
lake. I got to tell you guys, I was watching this video yesterday, and I watched it 50 times. I think he did it on purpose.
No.
I swear.
No.
I am telling you. The guys, it's an unnatural motion where he steps to the side, and it looked clear to me because they released the video that he is shooting,
mm-hmm.
and it goes underwater, and there's bubbles and everything. I think he did it to go viral. I think they did it so the moment would go viral. Otherwise, would we be talking about a helmet reveal?
Well,
absolutely not. That wouldn't even be a topic of conversation, but now we're talking about him going viral. Just watch the video. I'm telling you, he kind of steps out from under himself. It's not like he trips. He just misses and falls in.
Allie, two things. One, I would be because I heard a story about being colorblind that had to do with a helmet. That's the only reason why I brought it up. But the thing that people who are very coordinated – and what I've learned about offensive linemen is they look
here we go.
Hold on. This is a compliment. People
okay.
think of them as big and clumsy and all that kind of stuff. You won't find a more coordinated human being feet wise and with their feet and their movements than an offensive lineman, because literally that's their job. Go back to the Saints play, or the play against the Saints where Kirk Cousins gets injured. I know it's like a not something you should probably bring up the first day at training camp, but that's the one time where an offensive lineman got a little off balance with his feet, and it cost a sack, right? Because Lindstrom accidentally gets a little extended with his set, and he trips McGarry. But think about the confined space that offensive linemen move in with your feet. And so for you to say that, if I said that, I would. To me, it takes more credence than me saying I think he did it on purpose, because you don't understand. You don't understand how most people aren't thinking like you think with your feet.
That's such a good point. And not only that, not only about your own feet, you got to be in concert with everybody else's feet, because you're talking about Chris Lindstrom stepping on Caleb McGarry. I watched it over and over again, and it just looks like he's missing the dock on purpose.
No, I'm telling you, Lake Erie is absolutely.
I mean,
like,
you bring up a good point.
Nobody would sign up for that. Like, the Cuyahoga River, which flows into Lake Erie, like, caught on fire because there's so much pollution in 1969.
God.
Like, it's known for this.
What? Like, did you just pull a 1969 stat about a river most people in our audience had never heard of? I am so impressed right now. The Cuyahoga River, guys, caught on fire in 1969, if you didn't know.
Well, there's just
phenomenal.
There's so many black eyes on Cleveland. I did live there for a little bit, so I know a little bit about Cleveland. You know, they released, like, a million balloons into the sky, and that was an absolutely, like, it turned into a tragedy. Like, they got caught in things, caused car accidents.
I was going to say, how many birds died from chewing on the balloons?
Unbelievable. Like, they just kind of, this is their wheelhouse. Is trying to do something great, and they just end up with egg on their face.
Right.
So I'm hoping.
I'll take your word for it.
I'm hoping that gentleman got some antibiotics today. Because I'm telling you, Lake Erie, like, you don't want to go there. You just don't.
You don't want to go fishing there. For dinner in there is what you're saying.
I mean, what Allie's saying is you need to wear a some type of protective suit like you would in other
for
things.
For real?
Like,
no.
A body
hazmat.
Condom.
A hazmat.
Which is a hazmat.
You will come out glowing green. That's what's going to happen if you fall in that lake. Well, we know there's been a lot of debate around the college football playoff and the format and how it should go. So Oregon head coach Dan Lanning, he kind of wants it to wrap up all by January. Can you guys kind of break down the format he's looking at? He wants it to mimic NFL.
Well, I think it's unrealistic what he's proposing, because we weren't wrapping up the BCS by January 1st at the end of it. We weren't wrapping up the 14 playoff by the end of it by January 1st. He wants to end the season early and play games straight through and not have a break. One that kills the Army-Navy game, which is a standalone event, which I think college football, Allie, you're going to hear a lot from me as the season goes on, and every time we talk about a change, is one of the most tradition-laden sports that, to me, there is out there. And I think everything, the fans are okay with change and with playoffs, but they don't want to lose the traditions that come with it, like the rivalries that we'll see. Like, you know, you don't ever want to see Auburn, Alabama, or, you know, Georgia, Florida, Georgia Tech, those kind of games go away. You also don't want to see a game like Army Navy not played and have the Heisman Trophy have its standalone weekend where it comes on right after. But I just don't. I think it's also tough. Now, I agree with Dan about having like 25 days or something off like they did, but I don't want to see I don't want to see these guys play 20 weeks straight, because to me it's not fair for some of them who aren't getting paid hardly anything. It's too much on their body, especially at this level. But there does need to be a wrap-up of the sport before, I don't know, February?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not doing any justice to the sport playing into February almost, and they almost were there.
And also, there's a couple of different ways I look at this. First of all, you talk about February. Guys, these are still academic institutions. If you are going to start your spring semester, if you are leaving a school and going to a different school, and that's what I immediately thought of when I heard Dan Lanning, because I actually am a proponent of what he's talking about. I think when I played a national title game, I want to say it was January 9th, and it mm-hmm. might have been the latest one ever. Because remember, you go back to the national title games before the BCS, and before that national title game used to be a bowl game, right? It used to be Rose Bowl. It used to be Fiesta Bowl. And then they added national title game onto the back end of that. They never named it to another bowl game, and they pushed it a week later. So there was a Rose Bowl, and then we played a national title game in the Rose Bowl. And so I think what he's talking about is just simply putting that in reverse. And I think there's also the aspect, if you guys remember last year when we were having this conversation during the playoffs, and I can't remember who was putting this out, maybe Rusty Manziel or somebody like that, was talking about how there were teams actively having to pay players that were in the playoff not to leave.
They're also having teams, players, and I think Kirby might have touched on it about you know, remember the thing where he's like, yeah, there's Zoom calls with agents?
Yeah.
And they're in the portal. And
I think, well, I think that's what Dan Lanning probably is irked by last year, coming off last year.
He should be.
And he's looking at it going, dude, how can we put this in reverse? Well, you know what? If we just moved everything up and forgot about the 2 or 3 weeks that we needed between things, then it would be a different situation.
Do you remember the name Bo Tribula? He was at Penn State, and he was on that team. He was Drew Aller's backup.
Yeah, I remember.
And now he is at, I believe, Mississippi State is where he transferred to. We talked about him last week, but I'm pretty sure he's at Mississippi State. But he transferred literally. It was I think it was either right before or right after the SMU game, the first game of the college football playoff.
Yeah, it was right before.
This guy's transferring.
Yeah.
And he's the backup quarterback to a team that went on to play in the national semifinal against Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
So that is a problem. Look, I agree with the premise of what he's saying. I don't think he went to Mississippi State. That's where Blake Shapen went. It was Missouri. That's where he went. But that's the thing for me, is that you've got to be careful with how far this extends. But you also have to be careful, unless you want to start the season earlier, with how many games you make these guys play in a row, because it's all kind of it all could really shape the sport into it in a bad way.
I agree with you. I think I think what he's probably alluding to too is probably, you want to talk about things like the Army Navy game going away. I think he's talking about championship weekend as well. As you move along, and I think he's talking about moving all that stuff. Maybe there's a bye week in there, but guys, unfortunately, there's a lot of things about college football that have gone away recently that we feel very passionately about. So,
well, that's my point, though.
You got to be careful with how many they're playing in a row. There are very few teams that are involved in that, and I think that's just one of the things that he's talking about mirroring other situations. That's how it is in other sports.
I understand that, but other sports don't have the wear and tear that a D1 college football has. You know, next to the NFL in this country. I know we got to get out of here, but you're right about we've seen a lot of things go away. I feel like the sport can only suffer so many hits. And if you want to pay these players to play straight through, now the money's going up and up and up, because it's just too much on these kids.
Yeah.
They're still kids. Some of these guys are 18 years old, and they're playing 23-year-olds right now because of The fact that guys seemingly can play forever in this sport.
Well, yeah. I'm just so curious where it all lands, because SEC Media Days last week, ACC Media Days, Big Ten, where there's just so much conversation around it. There's got to be a compromise somewhere. Coming up, we're going to get a recap of that Braves-Giants series. We are the Get Right team, and Georgia Tech handed out a two-year, $3 million deal. Plus, it's time for Throwback Thursday trivia. Theme today is camp. That's next. That's next with the Morning Shift. We are live from Falcons Training Camp in Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Yes, it is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're the Morning Shift, and we are live from Flowery Branch at Falcons Training Camp. I'm Allie Mack. Mike Johnson is here. Bo Morgan, and of course, Dylan behind the glass back at the station. Now, Georgia Tech offensive coach Buster Faulkner got a two-year, $3 million deal yesterday, that extension. How do you guys feel about that?
It's not going to be enough. I think if they have the year that we hope they do, he'll be gone. I think he could be head coach. Buster Faulkner is one of the brightest offensive minds in college football right now.
No doubt.
Georgia fans are sitting there saying, they're like gritting their teeth because they love Buster Faulkner because they know about him because he was at Georgia, and now he's at Tech, and he's doing good things with that offense and with that team. I'm really excited for Georgia Tech this year. I think they have a chance to be very good. You know, Tech to me, and I know we're going to hear from what Haynes King here in a second. Mike, Tech to me is a team that every 3 to 4 years they could pop out with a 9-10 win season, and that's what they really are. And then you're going to have 7-6 or 8-5. It's getting back to the George O'Leary year feel for me. Back in the day when George O'Leary had it rolling, you'd be 8-5, boom, 10-2.
Well, and then just going back real quick to the Buster Faulkner stuff, it's been a long time since I have heard of anybody in the college game that's been as revered offensively as him. I mean, the only thing I can think of is go back with me 20 years, and do you remember when Gus Malzahn got to Arkansas as a high school coach, and he was hired on, and you were like, dude, this guy is bringing a completely different look to the offensive game. That's how I feel like Buster Faulkner is viewed throughout the college football community. He's just one of those people that does things differently, and he's able to really get everything that you could want out of a guy like Haynes King, and that's why this offense seemed to hit another stride last year.
It's a great point. Tony Barnhart sat with us last week, and he said that Steve Spurrier changed the SEC when he got there because it went from you couldn't win every game 17-13 anymore because he was dropping 30 to 40 a week. Gus Malzahn changed the offensive thought process with Darren McFadden and all those guys and the Wildcat and all those off. Remember all those things that he brought in?
Yeah.
And boom, to your point, Buster Faulkner is another name. It's a really good call with the Malzahn pool.
Yeah, let's hear from Haynes King. He actually spoke with Dukes and Bell yesterday on where the offense is right now.
I think we're going to be even more explosive than last year. Just with who we added and what we have returning, the guys coming back and the camaraderie that we have and the confidence level that Buster has and us executing it. So, like I said, I feel like we're going to be even more explosive than we already are.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And you go back and just watch some of the, you know, I don't want to get too nitty-gritty here, but, you know, the quarterback counter bash style plays with some of the backfield motions and the eye candy he's able to use. They use pre-snap motions with Buster Faulkner about as good as you possibly can as far as making defenses communicate and really putting stressors on second and third levels on defenses and making them kind of talk to one another and really trying to understand. He does such a good job of disguising offensively what he's trying to get done and making sure that the communication is really stressed on the back end.
Look, Phil Still is revered as one of the best college football guys out there as far as the preview and his magazine, and it's the College Football Bible, and we all have ours. And I'm sitting here looking at mine right now. He's got Tech fourth, projected fourth in the ACC. And the only two teams ahead of them really are Clemson, SMU, and then he's got Miami in there as well. So, but Clemson and SMU were college football playoff teams last year. And, oh, by the way,
ding,
they played in the ACC championship game in a phenomenal game. I think Miami with the Carson Beck, and they had had a good season last year that kind of got derailed at the end. But that's high company for Georgia Tech. And I think it's crept up on some people really even some of the fans has kind of crept up on because, this could be a year we haven't seen in a long time.
Well, and you can hear that full interview with Haynes King on the Odyssey app. I was listening to it yesterday. When you just heard him talking to Dukes and Bell, you just thought, man, Haynes is ready to go. Ready to go.
Love it.
Braves unfortunately lost yesterday to the Giants 9-3. We talked about Justin Verlander yesterday not having a win yet this season. Well, we helped him out.
He just knew it was coming.
So now we've got a 9-game stretch where the Braves are on the road, and that will go past the trade deadline on the 31st. So we might not be welcoming back the same team when they get back to Truist.
Personally, I hope not. I mean, I've been calling for changes to this team for 3 or 4 weeks, and really, you just got to a point where you knew the things that were happening weren't working. I think that we always – for really the last year and a half, and I know Bo feels this way too, for really the last year and a half, we looked at it and gone, look, these guys are good players. Eventually, they will get back to being good. The back of the baseball card. Ozzie is this. Michael Harris is this. They're going to play well. And you didn't make changes. And now it's, like I've said yesterday, it's too late to really go out and make drastic changes. I'm looking forward to 2026, but a lot of that has to do with the trade deadline coming up in just over a week. So it is what it is at this point. If there are guys that exit the scene, there are guys that enter the scene, you need more starting pitching help, obviously, for this team down the stretch, or it is going to make our eyes bleed to watch the Atlanta Braves for the next couple of months.
Yeah, you do. I don't know what is out there that is going to make you think looking at 2026 is going to be, you know, like what you're going to get for a Marcell Ozuna that's going to, you know, plan out for 2020 or plan out for 2026 and say, oh, here we are. But I will say that I don't have a problem with clearing a couple of guys, Ozuna, maybe a bullpen arm or two that won't be here next year, and bring up some young players, because we're not winning now. So having a couple of young guys and just letting them cut their teeth, that maybe bullpen arms or whatever, is fine with me. I also, if I'm Alex, I would call Miami and say, what is the price tag of a Sandy Alcantara? Because I know he's coming off Tommy John, but he's a guy that could get back there. Maybe it's not as expensive as it once was, a price for him. And I'm also saying, why can't we bring up, you know, Colby Allard or Hurston Waltrip? What are these guys doing that we can't cut their teeth as starters at the end of this year?
Yeah, you know what else, too, and I started thinking about these guys yesterday. There's just something so valuable, and we said it a number of times last year, to having a guy like Charlie Morton, or, you know, Michael Soroka has been okay this year. The guys that can just go out there and going to grit through six innings. And it just, it's like, oh, you know, he's a fifth guy. Okay, great. Everybody has to have a fifth guy. And I just wish that now it's like you look at the Braves rotation, you go, man, I wish they had that guy. And that's just kind of where it sits right now.
And look, I have been a Bryce Elder defender. That's what Bryce Elder is a guy that's going to give you 5 to 6 innings and 3 runs. I had a guy want to come at me and say, yeah, you said he was a frontline starter. No, I never said that. I said he's a fifth starter. But if you want to play that game with me where you want to call guys out when they have bad starts, someone please pull up the box score of the last two games and tell me what the difference is in what Spencer Strider gave you yesterday and Bryce Elder, other than Spencer Strider threw harder. That's it. Right now, so it's, you know, like our good things aren't really doing good right now. You know, it's a tough go right now. They both threw 5 innings and gave up 3 earned runs. And Strider, I think maybe Strider gave up 5, I can't remember, but I know he gave up at least 3. So what's the difference? There's not one. So chill with the let's criticize the guys who are just out there throwing away a year of their career on a team that has got nothing. This season reminds me so much of 2008.
Well, and we did see a lot of frustration coming off of Spencer Strider yesterday in the presser afterwards. So it will be interesting to see how this team shapes up. Like I said, that trade deadline is close. It's July 31st, so we'll see what happens. But right now, to celebrate the fact that we are at Falcons training camp, we got to play some Throwback Thursday trivia.
Bo.
Here we
go. Glad you remember the rules.
Trek.
Yes. Shout your name if you know the answer.
I'll never
to the
live
question.
That down.
No, you won't. All right, so I don't have a pen and paper right now, so count on your fingers how many points you have.
Gordon,
as we go through,
you got to count for us.
Scorekeeper. Official scorekeeper.
All right, so the theme today is camp. We'll get started. We are tied up for the season 4-4. In what TV show did Joey play Ranger Joe, who has a puppet named Mr. Woodchuck, and taught Michelle and her friends all about camping?
Bo.
Yeah.
It's the shorts. The show about salute your shorts or whatever.
That is incorrect.
What was the name of that show? Salute your.
We're not talking about that right now.
It's so bad. Don't give him any leash to change the subject. He will do it. I have no clue.
Answer to that was Full House. Joey, Ranger
oh,
Joe.
Oh, gosh.
Ranger okay. Joe.
I thought they were all camp related.
Yeah.
Well, he taught Michelle and her friends about camping.
Okay.
Oh.
Camp is not necessarily in the answer.
Okay.
Camp is somewhere in the question, or it could be the answer.
Oh,
okay.
My bad.
Now we've got clarity.
Yeah.
What is the name for a sock-style boot liner or shelter term used in the military or by hikers? What's a sock called when you go hiking? Or what kind of shoe do you wear?
Bow. Hiking sock. Hiking boots.
It'd be a camp boot.
I'm not giving him credit for that.
Okay, no, he's
say.
Not.
You said what
one.
Kind of? That's when you go.
I was sitting there going, a legging? I have no idea.
All right, now I know for this a fact we have discussed this next one in Mike Conti's office. So I'm going to assume someone's going to get this. Diane was a breakout star who loved singing "Sweet Home Alabama" on which episode? Yep.
Which episode of what?
No. Because you would yell at me if I had done that. Keep going. Go ahead.
I will give some leeway on this one if you take a solid guess.
No, I didn't get any leeway. I was doing my job.
Talked about it at Mike Conti's office.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we talk about it a lot in there. South Park. I don't know.
No.
I would like to hear the end of the question
before
I answer.
Diane was a breakout star who loved singing Sweet Home Alabama on which episode of MTV's True Life series?
He ain't going to get this.
Was this just a conversation between me and Mike Conti?
No, you know what? I know what it is now.
Yep.
I know what it is.
True Life, I eat laundry detergent.
No,
it's True Life. I went to fat camp.
Yes, it is.
Had only I let her finish the question.
I know. That's what you get.
Wait, we're blowing the score up here.
I know, man. I'm struggling here.
I know it's going to get better. Right now it's 0-0. What sweet treat is traditionally made around a campfire with graham crackers? Gordon, who are you saying on this one? I'm not taking the heat for this. All right, Mike.
S'mores.
S'mores, that is it.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mike has won.
Hold on, let me check my score. Okay, I have it 1-0, Mike, too. All right.
Okay, what 2008 Disney Channel original movie launched Demi Lovato and featured a singing competition at a summer getaway? Remember, the theme is camp. Yes.
Hannah Montana.
No.
I have no clue.
What?
No.
Oh, I know this one. I'm itching.
I knew Dylan was going to know it.
Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, my gosh.
Dylan, do you want to answer it?
Yes, Camp Rock.
That's it.
Hold on.
No.
Hold on.
No.
I got to put Dylan on the score now.
I'm positive you two will get this next one.
I'm about ready to award him the win the way we're playing right now.
You're in the lead right now. Mike, what are you talking about?
He's tied with Dylan.
Yeah.
All right. Which NFL franchise was the last to be featured on Hard Knocks through training camp? Which season did we just watch? Who was on it?
God, I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on.
Three.
Mike?
Yes.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
No.
I can't remember who was on it last year.
It was the Browns? I don't know.
The Bears. Yeah, the Bears.
All
right, I'm not feeling good about this next one.
Yeah,
then.
That was the Caleb Williams. Hey, man, what's your sign
bonus? Look, everybody's in there now.
Which NFL franchise will be featured on the next edition of Hard Knocks through training camp? Set to be released. Yep.
The Browns.
No. It's the Bills.
Is it the Bills? I was literally going to ask. I was going to answer the Giants.
I thought it was in Cleveland. I thought they were doing the four quarterback battle.
No. All right. Allison Hannigan probably hates it when people ask her to say what iconic line
Mike.
From America. Yes.
What is the line? This one time at band camp.
There you go.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The falcon, the actual bird just drove by.
All right. It is 2-0. Mike is in the lead. I see why. But what VH1 reality show helped celebrities like what VH1 reality show helped celebrities lose weight? Like Tiffany, Kato Kaelin, and Coolio. Also Dustin Diamond was on.
It's a boot camp.
I'll give it to you. Celebrity boot camp. All right. So
seemed
it
like
is
charity.
2
charity win.
1. Okay, here you go. What 90s Nickelodeon show was set at Camp Onawana?
Smack. Bo.
Mike got that one.
Salute your shorts.
I gave that to you.
It's 3-1. I'll give you a couple more. What cult horror movie franchise features a hockey mask wearing killer? Mike.
Oh, what's the it's Jason. What's the name of the movie?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. That's why I wrote it.
Go ahead. I can't think of it. Go ahead.
It's Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
It is Friday the 13th. Unfortunately, though, Mike was still in the lead at the end.
No,
it
we got. You said a few more. We got one more.
It's okay. Way overtime.
It is overtime.
Go ahead.
One more. In
just
what
give
movie?
Give me the tiebreaker. When
do Annie and Hallie meet at summer camp and realize they're twins?
Mike.
Hallie, we're twins. Yeah.
Parent Trap.
That is it. Mike still wins. Throwback Thursday trivia for today. Congratulations. You are in the lead now for the season, 5-4.
Is anyone really a winner after that?
definitely not the listeners. Sorry about that, guys.
That was pretty pathetic.
Well, coming up, we're going to hear from some of the guys we're going to see on the field today. Bajan, Chris Lindstrom, Caden Ellis are checked in, ready to go. We'll play some of that audio next with the morning shift live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.